Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the back roads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 6, Cheesequake. Cheesequake potters were lucky. You know, the thought just occurred to me, if you don't know what Cheesequake refers to, maybe just that line alone is enough for its own episode. Whatever. The little village of Cheesequake lay next to a massive deposit of excellent stoneware clay in the Amboy region of New Jersey, just across the border south of New York City. The Morgan family owned this deposit. These master potters, along with their allies, the Vernon and Letts families, dominated Jersey markets during the late colonial era. Potters near navigable waterways throughout the colonies could purchase Morgan's clay. The combined Crolius and Remy clans of New York City were particularly important customers. These two long-standing pottery families often intermarried, with shops almost always located right next to each other. Their market territory significantly overlapped that of the Morgans. But unlike the Morgans, they did not sit atop acres of superlative raw materials. Their previous source of stoneware clay, on Pot Baker's Hill in Lower Manhattan, had been swallowed up by the fast-growing metropolis. Today, that spot is called City Hall. So, the New York Crolius Remys were dependent on the New Jersey Morgans. Maybe their relationship was amicable. But why then was William Crolius lurking about on 1786 to 1790 Amboy, New Jersey tax rolls? Was he poking around looking for an exposed seam off of Morgan's property? The British, ever aware of the value of a good pot shop, sent a raiding party on August 8, 1777, to ransack Continental Captain and later General James Morgan's stoneware shop during the Revolutionary War. John Crolius had lost his pottery to the Redcoats a year earlier due to his patriot proclivities. After the war, thanks to canals and, eventually, railroads, Morgan's clay almost single-handedly supplied the 19th-century avalanche that became the age of American stoneware. Meanwhile, the Remy Crolius clan withered on its lofty perch in Manhattan. But the Crolius Remys seem to have not given up easily. Joseph Henry Remy owned the Morgan pottery for a time in 1820. In 1822, Catherine Bowen, James Morgan's granddaughter, obtained the shop and she ran it until 1835. Clay supply success eventually eclipsed the Morgan's pottery making business, because potters everywhere now worked with their clay. Today, about all that remains of the Morgan, Vernon, and Letts potteries, the Crolius and Remy potteries, and the Amboy pits themselves, is archaeological interest. You can still study mute examples of this fabled material, thrown, salted, and fired, in museums and on historical society shelves. But if you took a Morgan jug out from a glass case and put its mouth to your ear like a seashell, maybe you could hear the epic battles that once raged over those clay pits. Thanks for listening. And until next time, remember that saying found on an old stoneware headstone somewhere in the Carolinas. Alas, alack the day, the potter himself has turned to clay.